came to church today. Even if you are living in unbelief, say yes. I'm trying to finish my message in 5 minutes because I want to dismiss you by 8:15. I say that all the time, but we don't do it. So, in the book of Revelation, in the second chapter, when God is speaking to the church in Pergamos, in verse 17, as a part of their decision to be faithful and to be overcomers, he says, I will give them some hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name will be written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. We have a name that is given to us when we are born. That is your personal ID. So when you are asked for identification, they ask you, you have ID, you say, no, this is my name. They're not happy with it. You have to have your name with an ID, your picture, and everything else that goes with it. This name that we have received, no matter how beautiful it may sound or how meaningful it may be from the Bible, because people ask at naming, what name? So they name the child El something. God in the beginning and I am in the end. So one day I told the couple, name him Anakin. Or Nephilim. And they didn't know what it meant, so they were about to do that. Because we have a old sin nature at birth, is imputed to us at birth. No matter how cultured and refined we are, no matter what kind of an education we have, no matter what kind of upbringing, our lives will be determined by the influence of the sin nature in our lives. God does not want us to have a name which is derived from our fallen identity. He does not want us to have a name that is derived from our fallen identity. He wants us to have a name that is derived from our new creation image in Christ. Many times when a person comes from a non-Christian background, when they become a believer in Christ, and they recognize that Jesus Christ came from heaven to the earth. He became a man. He lived for 33 years of his life. The reason why he became a man is because man is a sinner and he cannot pay for his sin. He's eternally condemned and separated from God. So God had to send down his son in the form of human flesh. In John 1:14, 1 Timothy 3:16, God in the flesh, so that as a man he could voluntarily give his life and die on the cross, which is the sacrifice that God demanded for the salvation of the soul of man, by shedding his perfect blood on the cross, because without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Apart from that new creation, apart from that redemption, there cannot be a new creation. And apart from that new creation, there cannot be an identity in it. So when one starts being governed by the life in the old creation, when one starts being governed by his life in the old creation, he for a moment loses perspective of the new creation identity into which God has called him. You understand that? So the believer has a fallen identity because we are all born in Adam, But the believer also has a new creation identity because he is taken in 1 Corinthians 15 from the first Adam, and he is placed into the last Adam. So he, if he is a new creation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, he must also have a new creation identity. He must have a new creation mental attitude. Correct? So his thought processes are all in the new creation. Number one. Two, he has a new creation vocabulary. He learns who he is in Christ, and therefore he has a new creation identity. Okay, he has a new creation disposition. Everything from that moment of time that flows out of his life, from God's viewpoint, God sees him as one that functions in his what? New creation. Now imagine if you and I as believers made a decision to live before God in our new creation identity. When Jesus Christ came from heaven to the earth, what was his message? His message was how bad everybody on the earth was, no? So all the Gospels is how bad everybody is, how they're ill-treating him. No, he brought in a message that was unparalleled in terms of what people were used to hear. Why? Because he was from above. Even though he lived here below, he was from above. And even though there were things that were visible by human viewpoint, which were not in accordance with what God had decreed, he made sure that he always revealed his identity in relationship to the purpose for which he came. And he rebuked any spirit that would rob him or rob others of those provisions that were going to be made available to them through the redemption that came through him. So he would say, your sins are forgiven. And people, what? In Mark chapter, who can forgive sins but God? Yes, he says the Son of Man has the authority to do, forgive sins. The devil, I'm closing, the devil does not like it when a person functions with his new creation identity. Because when a person functions in his new creation identity, he is functioning in the kingdom of God. Now I want you to notice this. In Isaiah 62 verses 1, 2, and 3, in Isaiah 65 verse 15, speaking of the millennial reign and Israel in particular as a nation, but it says an application to the believer, God says that when you and I meet him, for us it will be at the Bema Seat judgment in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15. God will call us by a name which no one knows but him. What is it? He will call us by a name that no one knows but him. To the church in Pergamos and to those that overcome, he gives them a white stone and a new name on that stone. Now, from the viewpoint of historical frame of reference, which is called isagogics, according to Greek-Roman law, in a court of justice, if the person who was accused was pronounced not guilty, they would have an earthen vessel, and in that earthen vessel, the judge would put a white stone in it. The white stone was a symbol of acquittal. But in no way would a name be written on that stone. It would just be a white stone and a black stone. If it was a black stone, then there would be capital punishment. If it was a white stone, it would be acquitted. So it was very unusual, according to the historical frame of reference that is used, where the writer John is saying, he just does not give you a white stone, but he writes your name in it. Now, later on, in Roman times, when they had their events, they would give a prize, and on that prize they would inscribe his name. Now when you win tournaments, you win in individual tournaments like Wimbledon, US Open, what do they write? That name that Christ only knows, God only knows, and the first time he calls you by that name is a representative of, number one, your life in the new creation, number two, your identity in the new creation, number three, your self-image in the new creation, and four, your service for God in the new creation. It is so unique in its receptivity that name no one else will have but you, and everyone will have that own unique name by which he calls you. No one will know it apart from him. Meaning that name is the name that will be given to a person as a reward for how he functioned in life here in his new creation identity, having a self-image rooted in the new creation, having a new creation mental attitude, having a new creation speech that was seasoned with salt, that poured out grace through his lips, having a new creation service in the kingdom of God. So the believer is in a position of being under tremendous onslaught on the earth, but he must not allow the onslaught on the earth to connect him to his old creation identity in Adam. He must step outside of that in faith and function in his new creation image in Christ, and not take too much of time to waste God's eternal time on the earth in 5:16 in Ephesians, which he is to redeem, but must go forward in faith, recognizing that his acknowledgement and approval does not come from people or things on the earth, but it comes from the one that he will meet with face to face in heaven. So the devil wants to tire people out with fatigue, make them weary, get them to defend themselves, enter into self-defense mechanisms, give excuses, deny their failures, instead of just making a decision in faith to step from the old right into the new. So when you are confronted with a person who is right now functioning, or persons in the old creation identity, you cannot condescend to that person by entering into that position yourself. You can only condescend to that person by living in the new creation. God, Jesus Christ, never went to the bar rooms to drink with people to identify with the drunkard in Luke 15, 1 and 2 and Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. It says he was a friend of publicans and tax collectors and sinners, but he was separated from them. You understand that? You understand it real good today. I cannot lower myself in identification with another person by entering into that old creation life that he is demonstrating, or she is demonstrating, or they are demonstrating at that time, because I am delivered from that life. In heaven, a person that identified with another person that is in such a life, but by living in the new creation image, is going to be rewarded by a new name that God has given them. Because that new name that God has given them is a token expression of the person honoring the efficacy of the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ came to give us a new name. But he came and he put himself in the pit of misery by taking our sins upon him, though he was sinless, so that we would be drawn out from that pit into this unique position into which we were called. Do not go back to that way of life, because that way of life has nothing to do with the new creation. Yes, I can identify with that person with where they went, but my purpose of identification is to bring them out from the old into the new, not taking me from the new into the you were running well in Galatians 5:7. Who did hinder you? What happened to you? These people came around, the Judaizers, talked you into it. You left the premise of grace and now you're gone back into legalism. But you know, they are my friends. I'm identifying with them. You do not identify with Adam in the old creation. Jesus identified with it at the cross. When he took our sins upon himself and placed it completely, Adam was once and for all rendered inoperative through the cross. Now he wants me to function in a new creation image identity. He wants me to have a brand new mental attitude. He wants us to be saturated completely in the grace of God. And we understand what it means to be functioning effectively in the kingdom. So Pergamus In spite of all the things that they have, he said, I will give you hidden manna. That we'll talk at a separate time. But I will give you a new soul. You're not just acquitted. You are free. And that happened at our justification at Calvary when we were acquitted. But I will also write on you a new name. You see, a person that is on Skid Row, is he has wasted his life for God in this life. He thinks he's a waste. God just does not acquit him and say, okay, you're just forgiven of your sins. Anyhow, just take that chair because you're going to amount to nothing anyways. God writes on that stone of acquittal a new name, which means what? Everything that characterizes that person from the time he's saved till he goes home to be with the Lord, and everything that he does in grace, in his mental attitude, in his vocabulary, in his self-image, everything is something that God enjoys in his new creation relationship with him. He writes and he gives it to him personally. And the life that is characterized by our walk of faith and obedience in this life, the kind of life that we did in our service will be determined by the name. That name will determine that life that we lived on the earth. So he gives me the stone and I look at it. My favorite expression in this life was time pass. So my name will be? So Jesus will say, hey, time pass, idra. Another one. Oh, the guys that like to sit on the wall, the culverts. Culvert, come here. That's our identity in Adam. But identity in Christ is something that's absolutely different. Discern which kingdom people are functioning in. Discern. Don't be critical. But no matter what the situation is, make a decision to always avail of your new identity provision that you have in Jesus Christ. You understand that? Christ could not come but help speak only the things that his Father had given him to say. And if he had nothing to say, he would just remain silent. He says, I have come to speak only those things that the Father has given me to say. Because there is nothing of the old in the new. And there cannot be anything of the new. We don't deny the old, but there can be nothing of the old in the new. And there can be nothing of the new in the old. Sometimes people come up and say, Pastor, you know this, you know. I said, listen, I have no problem in you talking about it, but my memory has been purged. Come on, don't be so spiritual. No. God wants me to be spiritual in 1 Corinthians 2:16 because as Vijay said, we have the mind of Christ. So the body of Christ is a new creation. It ticks with life. It has a pulse. It's excited. There's momentum. The body has no time to worry about people's lives in the old because we have brought into the... Huh? When people celebrate Independence Day, how do they do it? On the streets, flags. When we win the World Cup, how do we do it? Get drunk in the bar rooms. People won the Olympics, bronze. How do they do it? Stadiums. What are the believers doing? Life is so difficult, boring. It's like conspiracies. Your church. And Jesus is looking down and said, the other people that are going to reach the world like this. We have a new creation identity in Christ and nobody can take it away from us. So all that the Apostle Paul received, his backlash, teaching it in 1 Corinthians. All the things, scum, filth, dirt, all persecution, everything he received on the earth. He didn't worry about his ministry or like how to defend himself because he knew what was awaiting him when he was be taken up unto. So God has a name given to us. It will not be, it is not now, but it is in heaven. It is written on a white stone. And it's going to be handed over to you. It's just not a stone of acquittal. It is a stone. It is a name that will describe your characteristics as an individual that lived in the new creation image on the earth. And it is a reward given to a person who was an overcomer. That means that he possibly could have failed, but he made a decision to rebound and to overcome. It is given to him. That is the name with which God gives it. He will give it to Israel as a nation, like he gave Abraham, Jacob, Esau. Israel, he called them. You know that? Sarah, Gideon, mighty man of valor. He changed the names and God will give us that name. And he wants us to live this life in the fervency of that fact that we will be recipients of that name. He didn't ask me to deny. God is not asking me to deny what people say about me, but He's asking me to deny myself and not what people say about me. Close with that. God is not asking me to deny to deny the reality of what people may say about me, but He's asking me to deny myself. And you only can live in self-denial in that sense if you understand the power of the cross in your life as a believer. Father, we ask You bless this evening. We see people in this world tossed about through and fro, torn around, devastated, shipwrecked, lives in turmoil. They have lost their mental state. They live like animals in the pit of misery, and You have come to save and to seek the lost. They are there because they don't know anything better. There's nobody to come. Nobody cares for my soul. That's their expression. May we through Your grace and calling upon our lives be in a place where we can stretch out that hand. Because You said in Your word, Your hand is not so short that it cannot save. In the book of Isaiah You said, but My hand is still stretched out. And we recognize today who we are in You. And we want to look at each one of us in the new creation image. And before we open our mouth about the other person, may we recognize this. We just don't have a new creation image identity. We have a new creation vocabulary. We have a new creation soul structure. We have a new creation walk. We have a new creation mental attitude. We have a new creation worship, praise, edification. It's all in the new creation. Yes, we thank You for it. Thank You for that song that was sung. We thank You for the Spirit moving in our midst. Bless, touch, minister to each one of us in our fellowship with each other, Father. We thank You. If you're in this place here today, Jesus Christ offers you salvation as a gift of grace. He came 2,000 years ago as a man. The purpose for which He came was to die on a cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins. Man is a sinner by nature and practice. He cannot save himself. At best, he can pay the penalty for his sins, which is eternal separation from God. Jesus came so that we would not be eternally separated from Him, but that we would be reconciled to Him. That means there would be a thorough change around, where the enmity that is there because of sin would be taken away, and He would make us a child of God. Jesus did that. He died, He was buried, He rose again. And if you're in the room today and you want to believe and say in your and make a decision to have eternal life as a gift, purely as a gift, say in your heart, Jesus, I believe that You came into this world as a man. You died for my sins. You shed Your blood for me. I want to receive the forgiveness of sins. I want eternal life. I want to go to heaven when I die. I believe this with all my heart. If you made that decision in your heart, there were people that were sharing with you about salvation that is in Christ, then if you said that prayer, your name is written in heaven today, in the book called the Lamb's Book of Life, because Jesus died as a lamb that was taken to the slaughter. You have eternal life as a gift, and you are a new creation, and God has a plan for your life. You say that in your heart, Jesus, save me, forgive me. I want to believe that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I can't save myself. Father, we thank You. Bless the body of Christ today. We are the people of Your hands, the sheep of Your pasture. Father, You have given us a cup that runneth over. You have anointed our head with oil. You have prepared for us a table in the wilderness and also in the midst of our enemies. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.